Are you feeling stuck in a career that no longer fulfills you? Maybe you're dreaming of a different path, but fear and uncertainty are holding you back. Switching careers can be a daunting process. Like, tell me about it. It's filled with self-doubt, discomfort, fear. But what if I told you that fear, that discomfort is a sign of growth, one that you and I both should embrace? My guest today on the show moved from being a professional dancer and choreographer to an adjunct dance professor, teaching her students how to build sustainable careers. But she didn't stop there. She then moved to being a full-time career coach. And now she's a career program executive for EdTech organizations. Talk about transitioning. Now she is the career steward founder and CEO, and she has mastered the art of building dream careers. She's a certified business coach and career strategist who has authored books like Freelance Dancer's Roadmap and has contributed over 100 career and business focused articles to esteemed national publication. So wherever you are on your journey, whether you are a creative freelancer or a corporate trying to get into business, or you're switching careers, or you're just getting back from a maternity leave and you're trying to get back into the workforce, or you're trying to build a side hustle, this episode is going to help you navigate that transitioning journey. And my guest today helping us in that conversation is none other than Shate Hayes. And I'm super excited and delighted to have this conversation with her today. So sit back, relax, grab your cup of tea, your cup of coffee, your bottle of water, whatever works for you. And let's get to meet Shate and learn how to navigate transitions seamlessly in business and career. I'll be right back with my guest.
No matter how dark the night is, the sun always rises. No matter how hard life gets, keep moving forward. You never know what amazing things are waiting just around the corner. No story is too rough and no journey is too tough. Join us on Stretch Street to be inspired by the stories of people who have been through it all and come out stronger. Stretch Street Podcast. Stretching without snapping.
Hello, hello, Shate. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, EJ. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here chatting with you and sharing this conversation with your people.
Thank you so much. Before we get into the conversation, let's just get some trivia things around so we get to know Shate, not the business executive, but Shate, the lady, the black, beautiful lady, the one with the dreadlocks. So guys, I know you can't see her right now, but I can. So let me give you a picture to put in your head. But of course, you can see her picture on the poster of this episode. So I used to be a dread family before. And who knows, maybe I'll return to the fold. But for now, I'm just going to keep admiring my fellow dread sisters. Okay. So tell me one fun thing about you, something that would shock people about you.
Ooh, that's such an interesting question. And I'm immediately like, ooh, what do I say? Definitely, first of all, go back. Locks are everything. I don't know how you could let them go. They're so, ooh, Lord, I don't know what I was doing without them before. I don't know how I was living my life, but it wasn't right. So I'm happy I have them now. But one thing that, might shock people. One thing that might shock people knowing that I was a professional dancer is how clumsy I am. And so actually the joke was that when I was younger, my parents actually put me in dance classes because I was so clumsy. So I was like running into things, tripping over my feet and, you know, just always everything else was in the way. I could never just walk straight, falling up the stairs, not down them. And so they were like, oh, she needs some grace. So we're going to find some dance classes for her. And it turns out that I love dance. Like I never once chose to go to dance first. It chose me. And I love to dance. I'm really good at it now, but I'm still really, clumsy. I've learned to slow down, and that's how, like, because I'm moving too quickly, that's how I end up like running into things, dropping things, spilling food on me. So when I slow down, it's not as bad. But if I'm doing too much, baby, I'm injuring myself all the time. So
that is quite interesting, because the reason your parent asked you to go dance didn't leave, but then they asking you to go dance led you into something you were passionate about that you didn't know. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It was so divine. It chose me. And I would say that's the case for all of my careers, or both of my careers, however you say it. Like, everything that I've done, I feel like has chosen me. I didn't seek it out necessarily first.
That's interesting. I guess from the overview that, you know, we just heard in your profile, transitioning from one phase to the other feels like it was more of a pull than a push. Like, you didn't push your way into them. It felt like they called you, and that possibly played a role in the transition. So let us hear that story. You started off as a dancer. At what point did you decide, I'm no longer doing dance? Because it felt like, yes, dance chose me. So it's almost natural that I'm going to stay here because this is what feels good. So what were the pointers for you to know it was time to transition? And how did that all play out for you?
I love the way you just described that as a pull and not a push. And you use the word called. Calling is one word that I would absolutely use to describe my journey, from the way that dance chose me early on to, so even growing up, so I've always performed my entire life. Dance was always a thing. It was never not in the picture. And even when I wasn't doing like competitive dance as a child, I was dancing on drill teams in school or cheering, or I was just always on the stage, and even performing for community events as a teenager. And my mom would always sort of try to introduce me to dance in a more professional, like pre-professional level. So she would say, do you want to go to Alvin Ailey camps? Or, you know, like she would take me to see Ailey or the Nutcracker. And that world of dance, while I really admire and respect it, just wasn't for me. And I had not yet been exposed to the type of dance that I wanted to do. There's a show in the 90s called In Living Color, and I want to be a fly girl on In Living Color. That's what I wanted to do. And so I didn't see that because we didn't have cable. So I didn't grow up watching music videos, and I didn't know that you could even do that for a living. So when I got to college, she was like, choose a major other than dance. And I guess in her opinion, you know, I hadn't taken it seriously, I guess, to a professional level, so I didn't need it. And also in her defense, you don't need a degree in dance necessarily to be a professional dancer. So I chose something else, but I still performed all through college, cheered, stepped, like whatever, you name it, I was still doing it. So by the time I got out of college, and I think my major was psychology, but on the pre-med track, I did not want to be a doctor. It was just something that I think she suggested, like, why don't you think about being a doctor? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. You know, but didn't really, it wasn't from within me. And I got out of school and I was studying for the MCAT, and I was hating every minute of it. I just didn't like it. And I was forcing myself through it. And there was something from within me. So going back to a call, something within me was like, if you're going to spend every single day of your life working, you can't feel like this. This is not the kind of life that I want. And so I started really reflecting, like, well, what do I love? And it was just immediate, like, performing. I want to perform. So I set out, fast forward, I set out, moved to LA. My parents were like, you're doing what? We just paid all this money for you to go to school, and you're going to do what? And so we had that moment. But then when they saw that I was serious, my mom moved me herself. Like, she took me to LA to start my career. And, you know, fast forward, I do all these things. I travel, I get a master's in dance. I'm now teaching on college campuses, and I'm loving my career. So it literally feels like, yes, this is why I'm here. And then slowly, it didn't happen overnight, but I started to feel like this lifestyle actually doesn't suit me. So then I start to grow up, basically. I no longer, at the time, I'll give you an example of my day-to-day. I was teaching at lots of different college campuses in the Dallas area. So I would like teach a class, get in my car, drive across town, teach somewhere else, that kind of thing, all day. And then evenings, I would be in rehearsal, choreographing a regional theater production. So I did lots of musical theater, which I love. maybe on the weekends I'm traveling somewhere else to go adjudicate a dance concert, teach classes or something like that. So I was just kind of always on the grind. And I was always moving, you know, like work, I would get an opportunity one place. And so then I would live, you know, move somewhere. So I was kind of always starting over. And that, I think after, at a certain point, I was like, ooh, this is, I don't want the rest of my life to be like this. And yeah, I kind of felt a pulling, a nudging from within that was like, okay, it's time for more. But I didn't know what the more was. I just kind of took a leap of faith and was like, okay, this is my last semester. I'm moving on. And it was definitely a pull, but we'll have to talk a little bit about what came after that, because I definitely had an identity crisis and was like, who am I? What am I doing? And, you know, so there's a lot of things that I've learned about how to transition in a way that is, you know, a little smoother than what I've done in the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love the beauty of what you're sharing right now, because you grew and you were aware that you were growing and evolving. Because I think the important thing here from what you've shared so far is the awareness. You were aware enough to catch yourself to say, there's something off here. I used to enjoy this, but I'm no longer enjoying it. What's up?
Yes.
Because I think one of the things that a lot of people struggle with is it could be two things. They either are not aware enough to catch when the flip happened, or they're just too scared to explore what that discomfort is at that time. Of course, life happens. Situation happens. They get into the grind again. Maybe sometimes something shows up as opportunity and they lose sight of that sign in the first place. And so they remain in that circle. And then it just turns into resentment. Like, you just know, like, I don't think I want to do this, but like, there's nothing else I know to do. So my question to you before we then go, okay, how did you deal with the identity crisis and all of that is, at what point did you started to notice your self-awareness? Was it something you went in search of, or was it something your upbringing gave to you, or was it your dance journey that helped heighten your sense of awareness in understanding who you are personally to quickly grasp those signs of, I think I'm getting bored of this particular line of career?
I love that question. It's the first time I've ever gotten that question, and I've had a lot of conversations, EJ. So, I mean, you are truly marked for this. I would say I've always had these little nudgings, these sort of impressions, downloads, people are calling them now, that sometimes I'm really great at paying attention to, and sometimes, you know how they say, first it comes as a like a feather, then it comes as a pebble, then it comes as a rock, like to get your attention. So for the most part, my percentage is probably like 60-40, 65-35, and like paying attention when it's a feather. Now, I have had a lot of moments where like I've had to get the rock lesson, the boulder lessons, and those haven't been good. But I can't say that it's necessarily been something that I picked up. It's just a wiring. I will say one thing about me is that it is harder for me personally, it's just how I'm made, to be stuck and uncomfortable and not like at peace than it is to do a scary thing. So I would rather do something scary than be somewhere where I don't feel a peace. And peace doesn't mean that there's not difficulty. I mean, peace as in alignment, like a knowing that I'm supposed to be there. So around the time when it was like transitioning, I started to feel like a pull to do something other than dance. It was a couple of things. It was like a, like I said before, this lifestyle, like, ooh, like this is becoming a lot. And then I vividly remember the beginning of the very last semester that I was teaching, and I wasn't excited about it anymore. I used to look forward to the semester because I get to choreograph at the end of the semester these concerts. And I was like, always sort of like, ooh, what am I going to choreograph? What's going to be the music? Who, you know, like really doing that. And at the top of the semester, I was like, oh, I got to do this again, you know? And so I just started to pay attention to those sort of moments, like this means something, you know, there's not a joy here. So if you even go back to me right out of college, that sort of feeling of like, no, if you're going to work, you're going to have to like what you're doing. And so, yeah, I don't know why I've always had a hyper sensitivity or a hyper awareness around that in particular, because in other areas of my life, I haven't always been so on it. But professionally, and maybe that's why I'm called to do what I'm doing now, because I've always sort of had this sort of, yeah, that thing, that voice in particular, when it comes to career, I've always listened to, and it's always served me really well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. Like, it's there because that was somewhat like your guiding light, your North Star to get you to where you are today, doing exactly what you're doing right now. And it's beautiful and a blessing that you were able to lean towards it earlier on in life and not allow the external voices and noise make it die. So well done on that. So on that journey to transitioning then, take us through the process, especially what were the most challenging phases in that whole transition? And of course, I know you've now had multiple transitions, so I guess you can pull from the different transitions that you've experienced to then say, I feel like this is me just imagining, but you have to just bring me back home. Like, hey, no, that wasn't how it played out, let me tell you. But let me just paint the picture, because it feels like for me in my head, I'm thinking from the first transition to the second, some of the things that were harder for you the first time probably wasn't harder the second time. But it didn't mean that the second time you had to transition to something else, there was no challenge there. So you can pull some of these challenges together and walk us through that and then tell us, you know, what were the most difficult things that you had to deal with at every point you're transitioning.
Mm-hmm. So I would say the first time I transitioned from full-time dance to like corporate career coach, I would not transition that way again. I did a complete young person, you know, YOLO. Yeah, just like YOLO, I'm going to figure it out. I'm taking a leap. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm not supposed to do this anymore because my spirit told me I quit. This is my last semester. No plan, like no plan whatsoever. It was just like a blind faith. I'm going to figure it out. And I did eventually, but it's much harder to do it that way. So I've always had very supportive family. So I was living I'm originally from Houston, Texas, and I was living in Dallas, which is not, you know, too far from Houston. And so the end of the semester came, I also had family in Dallas, and I was just like, okay, I'm gonna try to find something else here. I don't know what the else is. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm gonna figure out, you know, something to do here in Dallas and it'll be fine. But then it was kind of like, actually, why am I staying here paying rent when I don't know what kind of job I'm about to have, and everything that I've tried to apply to is not working. And so my mom was like, you can just come back here and figure it out. And then just like, whenever you're ready to go somewhere else, go. So I took her up on that, but little did I know that it was going to take a whole year, like a full year, because I had no clue. Now, I was still at this time, like before the end of my dance career, was already starting to help dancers build, like learn how to build their own sustainable career. So I was building theworkingdancer.com. I'd started writing for like Dance Magazine, started doing those things. I started sort of like dabbing my toe into coaching on my own, like coaching creatives and dancers. So I was doing this on my own. It wasn't enough for me to like have a living off of it. So for whatever reason, I just kind of thought that that wasn't it. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't sustaining my living. Well, I wasn't approaching it strategically. I wasn't doing everything I think I could have, and I just didn't know to. So in the meantime, I'm still just applying for all these random jobs, like no direction. I'm just applying for anything that I could do, not what I should be doing, right? And so that was really difficult, because not only was I dealing with an identity crisis, it was kind of like, well, dang, even though I chose to leave dance, who am I if I'm not a dancer? That also is not, yeah, that's not necessarily a healthy thing, like that my identity was so enmeshed with my professional occupation. But I mean, I loved it so dearly. It felt like such a calling, a purpose. And it was that I really just like, this is who I am. And I think that's how everybody else saw me, because still to this day, people are like, oh, you dance still? Are you going to dance again? You know, like so much of who I am. And so like sort of trying to figure out what else to do beyond that was really, really tough, even though I'm a quick study. I have a lot of different skills and a lot of different talents. And so that was really hard. I remember finally when I got the clarity, it was like, okay, what did I like about what I used to do? I really liked working in higher ed. I really like working with adults. I really like helping people with their careers. I love helping with people with their careers. I don't want to leave the house because I'm not a dancer. So is there something I can do at home that incorporates those things? As soon as I got that kind of clarity, then the opportunity for a remote career coach kind of role opened up. But what I'd say to your other, the other part of your question is, what I've learned now, if there's going to be a transition, I've got a plan. I am starting to implement that plan before I tell anybody that I'm going anywhere, because I don't ever want to be in this like middle place. The middle is difficult enough without having any kind of plan in place. So definitely let's be strategic about the transition and don't just like jump off the ledge like I did.
That's a good lesson to remember, and I love when you said, you know, your dance became almost, you became immersed in it and it almost took over your identity as who you are, like Shate dancing.
Yep.
And it was like, it blinded you off of every other skills you had, even though you had those skills and even though you were actually even using the skills. But just because you were so involved in dancing, you couldn't see anything else.
Yep.
But I also love that it was the quality of questions that you asked yourself that helped you figure out, okay, what exactly in this whole picture that I really love that I can transfer? Which talks about transferable skills. And
yes.
I think, you know, these are things that we really need to, you know, pay attention to, asking the right questions. The beauty of that, or maybe not the beauty, is that sometimes we don't have the questions. We don't have the good questions on our own, because depending on our level of personal development or on the level of the interactions that we have had with resources that can help us in that regard is what would even birth that quality of question in us, which is why we do need coaches. So, but I'm guessing before we get into, now you've transitioned into helping people with coaching and career, because you already were doing it even before you realized there is a coach in you, right? What was the journey that led to that, led you to get into that point where you could ask yourself those like deep end questions that helped you get some form of clarity to then build up on that for the transition to happen? And then now that you're a coach, how do you help people?
Yeah, sometimes I even still struggle with the word coach. I don't know why. Maybe because of the perception of the industry or something like that. But
because it's whitewash. Everybody's a coach.
Yeah. I try to use other language. I say strategist and things like that. But what I can say about myself is that I am a continuous learner, like a perpetual learner. I've done a strengths finders assessment, and one of my top five strengths is learner. Like that is just who I am. I like to learn things. And so constantly reading books. And when I was even starting that body of work with the working dancer, I was looking for coaches myself. Now, I didn't know how to look for a coach. Now I know that there's a right way and a sort of a wrong way to find a coach, because a coach will essentially teach you how to build things in a way that they've built it, like based on their lived experience. So I didn't know that I should be trying to pay attention to the gaps that I had in my own situation and finding a coach to fill those things. But that's another story we can kind of jump into. I guess the part that it was just kind of like, I was an educator. I'm a teacher. That's like an innate part of me. And so to me, it felt more like teaching and just showing the way. And what started out as me wanting to help dancers around me, me also wanting to like make things that my younger self could have used and didn't have, right? So I was just doing things in that nature. Just again, felt kind of natural. Like people were coming to me with questions like, hey, can you tell me how you did this. Oh, you moved to LA and got an agent. Can you tell me how that happened for you? Can you, right? So it was another kind of organic thing that prompted me to be like, oh, maybe I should do a little bit more of that. Coupled with the fact that I'm already a continuous learner, coupled with the fact that I was seeking out my own coaches and like seeing how that was helping me or maybe not helping me. And so all of that sort of informed like the direction I was able to go. And now I do call myself a strategist. Sometimes I say there's like coaching involved, but I think maybe I identify more as a consultant because what I've also learned is a coach is someone that sort of gives you the questions so that you can find the answers yourself. And I think some people like that, some people don't.
Right.
A consultant is someone who can do more advising and like actually give you more answers to help guide your decision making. And right. I like that more than sort of like if you ask me a question, yeah, and then I say, oh, well, what do you think about it? Like, no, I don't want to do that. Just like, here, try this. Let's see if it works. If not, let's try something else, right? So that's what I do. I help creatives. Now, my work is actually twofold at this point. So on one end, I'm a consultant, and this is how I was able to transition myself again for this most recent time. I consult for social impact nonprofits, helping them tell their stories through like video production, writing, like content strategy and things like that. And then for professionals, for creatives, I help them to transition, like leave their 9-to-5 by like consulting or independent contract work as well. And so it's a little bit of sort of making sure that I'm helping people one, tell their stories, and then two, like live their purpose and love their work.
I see. That's beautiful. So you work, so right now you work with, would it be majorly individuals or also corporate bodies still? Yes. Do you still work with the social organizations, or now you've transitioned fully to working with just professionals and individuals?
Yeah, I do both because I love them both. I call myself a strategist and a storyteller. Even sometimes I say I'm a strategic storyteller. And so I work with organizations to help them tell their stories, specifically social impact ones. And then I help creatives, you know, like I said, transition to doing their own thing, people who want to work on their own. And I love them both. And I do them both equally, actually. For now, maybe that'll change. Maybe I'll transition.
I know, right? Never say never. We don't know what we're going to transition to. We don't know what's going to pull you again, but we'll see how it goes. It's about enjoying the journey while you're in it and giving it your best shot while you're serving in that capacity. I want you to dig deeper into what you said earlier on about seeking out a coach and talking about that gap, if it's something you want to share, just in case somebody's listening to this and they're going, yeah, I also feel the same way about coaching. And actually, I feel like I need one, but I also don't know how to, you know, choose the one for me. You know, can you just give us a little insight about how to choose the right coach, you being a career coach yourself?
Yes, I would say so many things about life. I would maybe even venture to say just about everything in life starts with self-awareness, like the success of something starts with self-awareness. And so in my story, I was just kind of like, oh, I need a coach early on. I just need a coach. What I wanted was someone to show me how to build a business. And so I would look for a coach thinking that's what I was going to get out of every coach. And really what I would get is like someone who knew a part of business and was kind of showing me how they were able to build their business. And so I found a coach early on. What resonated with me about her is that she was a performer too. And so her business, like she was in musical theater and she was teaching people how to sort of get leads. I didn't understand that terminology then, how to grow their business through like video, being visible online and videos. But that honestly didn't like resonate with me. And so I was trying to do this thing in that way. And I was just like not having results because I was like, this feels icky. And so I went on to have a couple of other situations like that where I'm like doing it like, oh, this person built a business. Maybe they can teach me how to build a business. And then I get in there and I'm like, oh, this is not exactly what I'm looking for. So I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on coaches who are perfectly great coaches, but they weren't what I needed. And it wasn't until within the past year even that I was like, okay, what is it that I actually need? What is it that I actually enjoy? And what I need is more support on marketing and sales, delivery is fine. I don't need somebody to teach me how to teach. I don't need somebody to teach me how to coach. What I need is to learn how to build a business. So my gaps are sales and marketing. And so I've since found coaches and that are helping me with that. And it makes a world of difference. I now feel like I have alignment. I now feel like I'm actually getting what I need to fill my gaps. I now feel like I'm able to sort of soar, know how to course correct and recover because I actually have what I need. And so if anyone's interested in a coach, think about what you need specifically. And then do some diligence in terms of researching who's out there, what's out there, have some conversations, see what their results are, see if you have any referrals, meaning like people that have worked with them before, so that you can make sure that when you are investing, because I do think everyone should invest in some type of support at some point in their life, whether that be a coach or a therapist or, you know, I don't know what else you pay for.
Even a community. Yeah.
Exactly.
Community association.
Exactly. Yeah. So everyone needs support at some moment. You can't build. I don't think we are meant to build anything in isolation. I tried it before and it doesn't work. And so, yeah, just take a moment to have that self-awareness, that reflection, because it'll help you make better decisions for sure.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't. Even as a coach myself, this makes a lot of sense. That's what happens more often than not. Having, you know, coaches come forth to teach their own methodologies, their mm-hmm. own systems. And there is nothing wrong with that because apparently it has worked for them. That's why they have the confidence to say it has worked for me and I can show you how, right?
Right.
But then the assignment is still on you as a person to sit with yourself and ask yourself that question, what exactly do I need? Not what do I want, not what everyone says I want, not what others essentially say I need. Maybe they could give you a clue to it, but you have to come to that point where you are certain about what you need. And circle round and get back to this point of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. So well said. I like that. The assignment is on you. Like, yes, 100%. There is still a part that we have to do. And even when you get a coach, there's still the part we have to do to be accountable to doing the work, because nothing's going to happen to you. Your life, this life that you want, that you desire, will not just fall in your lap. You are going to have to do something to make it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Shete. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. If anyone is, you know, listening to this and they're like, I want to check Shete out. I want to see the work she's doing. I want to see, you know, how she tells people's story. Let me see if she could help me tell my story. How can they find you?
Yes, I would love to help all of y'all tell your stories. But you can go to, I have actually a resource for, so going back to those transitions, and there are two resources that I want to share. One is like the most recent time I was able to transition much more effectively because I had a plan was through, again, consulting or independent contract work. So I have a resource of 40 sources of independent contract work. And then I also have one resource that is like how you start to do that reflection and research about like what it is that you could do, like what is an alignment of a career business alignment. You can find those at lightmycareermatch.com. And once you get those resources, you'll be into the fold. So you'll see everything that I have to offer. I'll send you, you know, weekday career inspiration stories. And then, you know, you'll be linked to careersteward.co. So I'd love to have you all. That's lightmycareermatch.com.
Fantastic. I'm going to leave that link in the show notes so that you can grab that resource, get through it, understand where you are at on your journey as a career person, as a professional, and, you know, find out what exactly you need. And if you're transitioning, get the other resource to know the different places you can look to. For the other resource that you talked about, the 40 independent contractor, does it work only in the US or is this applicable everywhere else?
You know, that's a good question. I think if anybody wants to take a look, and there's also, once you grab that resource, there's a link to book time with me. If we can talk it through and I can figure it out. I honestly that's the first time I've gotten that question and now I want to look into it. So I'm happy to figure it out together if anybody wants to dig a little deeper.
Okay, fantastic. That would be awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. It's been a fantastic session again with you. And I look forward to seeing some of your works and cheering you on from over here, saying, go Shate, go Shate, go Shate. What would be your final words as we wrap this up for anyone listening right now, going through some level of uncertainty or lack of clarity, let me put it like that. You know, just saying, I really feel like I am done in this career that I'm in and I need to transition, but I don't even know how to go about it. Mm. If what you are going to say right now is all they can hear to even give them that push to take the next step, what would you say to them?
Oh, I got three things I want to say. Well, two of them are related to your question. The first thing I want to say is, thank you so much for having me. Like, this is, I hope I get to experience your energy in person one day, EJ. Like, just love, love, love what you have going on. Now, to the person who's like, I know I'm ready for more and what the heck, what's next? Two things I would say. The first thing I would say is I literally just did a LinkedIn Live about this very question about how to transition with more certainty and less fear and some very specific steps that you can take. And that really is about like the preparation, the self-awareness, sort of like looking in front of you. What is it that you're doing now that you're enjoying? That could be a clue to what's next for you. And then those resources that I shared. The next thing that I would say is like the final thought for you is you can. Like, you can have whatever it is that you desire. You have to go for it. The thing is, it's not going to happen with you just trying to sit where you are and plan your way through it. That's just not how anything is built. The path is made by walking. So you're going to have to start to take some steps to either gain more self-awareness, to gain more clarity about what you want, have conversations with people to see like how it can possibly happen. And then as you start to take steps, it will become clearer. Like, each step will become clearer the more you start walking. And so, final thought, you absolutely can. You absolutely can. And I'd love to help you if you need it.
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. You can, and all you need to do is take the first step and clarity would come on motion. Wow, what a fantastic conversation we've had here today. I hope that you've gained something, you know, spectacular and gotten some level of clarity for your own transition journey. And if you need to speak further, you know, to somebody to say, you know what, I just need to talk through it. Because sometimes when you just share and you just pour it out, your blind spot might not allow you to see what you're saying. Sometimes you have the answers in what you're saying, even in the complaints. But with a third eye and with a neutral mind, they can help you point the dot and connect the dot and say, this is what I see here. And you're like, oh, it's been there all along. So if you need one person like that, Shate is that person and you should reach out to her. I'm going to leave the link to her LinkedIn, you know, so that you can connect with her and reach out to her. Send her a DM. Go to the website, click on the resources, get into the fold so you can get, you know, into her space and she can send you resources from time to time and you can take it from there. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Till I come your way again next week with another episode and another story of going through challenges, navigating it, coming out and learning something tangible out of that experience. I want you to remember that challenges are not exclusive to any of us. We all go through it. But when we assume the posture to say, what is this here to teach me? Then we're able to distill the lessons. And when we share those valuable lessons, we become valuable. We add value to the society and it just becomes a better place. The world becomes a better place for us. And that's what I'm here to do, to help you get all these amazing references to let you know that you are not alone on this journey of going through challenges. So keep stretching, but try never to snap. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.